2, beginning in verse 8. Ephesians 2 and verse 8. Ephesians 2, 8. Amen. And Brother Lucas, would you lead us in prayer, please, sir?
Father, as we open your word this morning, I just ask that you would give us understanding, open hearts and ears to hear your word, and that you would be with Pastor as he's bringing forth your word today. Just help us to learn and grow, draw closer to you. It's in Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8. For by grace are you saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Well, we read this verse, we quote it, we talk about it often. We say, well, you're saved by grace, and we just sing about it in many songs. We often say, you cannot get saved by your good works because it's by grace. But what is grace? Why can we only be saved by grace? Why can't we be saved by our own works? You know, sometimes we use terms that we are used to and we know what they mean, but when we throw around terms like this to people that are not saved, well, what do they think? When we say, well, you can only get saved by grace, you can't get saved by your own good works. Okay, so what are they thinking? Well, why? What is grace? And why can't I get saved by my good works? Well, the word grace, Strong's Concordance defines it as benefit, favor, a gift. So the Bible says here in verse 8, for by grace are ye saved. Grace meaning benefit, favor, a gift. And then it goes on to say that, Ephesians 2, 8. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is what? The gift of God. So that's part of the definition of grace. Grace being a gift. So it tells us that. It goes on to give a good definition of the word grace. And that matches up. If you want to hold your place there, let's go to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. So Ephesians 2:8 said it's the gift of God. And that makes us think of some other scripture verses. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is what? Death. But the what? The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So grace is a gift. And we'll see in a minute, it's an undeserved gift on our part. But it's a gift. So the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And that matches up, if we go on to John chapter 4, that matches up to what Jesus told the woman at the well. John chapter 4 and verse 9. John chapter 4 and verse 9. The Bible says, then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou, being a Jew, askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. You know, you talk about all the conflict. I mean, they call it the racial conflict, but there's really only one human race. God only created one human race, Adam and Eve, and all the people of the world are from Adam and Eve, and then he hit the flood, and then so we're all through Noah and his wife as well. But there was the same conflict between different peoples here, the Jews and the Samaritans. They did not get along. And part of the reason was because when the king of Assyria conquered Israel, the northern 10 tribes of Israel, he deported those people and he brought in other people. And the lions in that area began to kill the people. And so they said, hey, we're being attacked by these lions. We need to learn the faith of the people that were here, of the Jews. And so what they did is they brought in a priest, but it was a mixture of the true and the false. And that was another reason that the Jews did not like the Samaritans. Number one, because they were foreigners occupying their land. And number two is because they had a mixture of false and true. The false and the true in regard to faith in Christ. And so they did not get along. So when Jesus asked a drink of her, she's saying, you know what? This guy doesn't seem to be considering me unclean. So, verse 10, Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest what?
The gift of God.
The gift of God. There's the definition of grace again. The gift of God. And who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink. Thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee what?
Living water.
The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. Now remember, he was asking her for a drink because he didn't have anything, no vessel to draw. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water shall what? Thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall what?
Never
thirst. But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into what?
Everlasting life.
So Jesus is given an illustration of the spiritual by a physical thing. How many of you are thirsty? Okay. So let's see. Well, I'm supposed to. You want a drink? That's mean, isn't it, to ask a question like that? So we get thirsty. How many of you who are thirsty already drank something this morning? Yeah. So, okay. So it just proves we get thirsty again, don't we? But spiritually, what is Jesus telling her? You know, the water that I shall give in the person will be a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The water that I give, a person will not thirst again. So he's talking about something spiritual here, illustrating it. You know, when we come to Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're thirsting. That's why we came. There was something in our lives that got our attention. Maybe it was some problems in our lives. And we finally realize, you know, there's got to be more to life than what I've been experiencing. The problems that sometimes that we face, and we think, I need help. I need help. I can't handle it. And so it brings us to see our need of Jesus Christ, and then someone comes into our lives with the gospel and tells us about Jesus. And so God works in our hearts and we see, yes, I do need Jesus as my Savior. Notice with me in hold your place here, 1 Peter 5:7. 1 Peter 5:7. I can remember working a job once and just asking God, there's got to be more to life than this. 1 Peter 5:7 says, casting what?
All your
care upon him. That's Jesus. Casting all your care upon him for what? He careth for you. You know, sooner or later in our lives, we find out that there's a lot of people in this world that don't care. We were just having a conversation outside. You know, this whole COVID thing, there's a lot of people that they don't care. There's a lot of disillusioned people right now. So let's go back to John chapter 4 there. So something causes us to thirst, causes us to come to Jesus Christ. Okay, and once we come to him, Jesus said that we would never thirst. In verse 14, John 4:14, but whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall what?
Never thirst.
But the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. And so when we come to Jesus Christ, our thirst is quenched. That is that spiritual thirst. Our search is over for our Savior, our God. We've found him. You know, I can't ever remember, since being saved, I can't ever remember wishing that I wasn't saved. I can't ever remember, since I've been saved, I can't ever remember going on a search for someone that could satisfy better than Jesus Christ. My thirst was quenched. My thirst was met in him, and the same in you when you know Christ as your Savior. So it's a gift. So when we say, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. We realize that we could not save ourselves. It's only through grace, the grace of God, as we saw in Sunday school, the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. Let's go to Romans 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse 15. Romans 5:15. Once again, dealing with a gift. In Romans 5:15, the Bible says, but not as the offense, so also is the free what? Gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more what? The grace of God. And the what? Gift by grace. There it is again. You read about grace and you read about gifts, and they're just interchangeable. And the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. There was a pastor in Maine that called this week and wanted some gospel literature. And so he was asking about paying for it. And I said, it's free. And he says, well, I have a debit card. He says, I'd be happy to make a donation. And I said, well, I says, we're not set up to take electronic gifts because we don't charge for it. And he was just so appreciative. And so it's free. I mean, salvation is free. It's a free gift, right? So why shouldn't the good news go forth freely? And you know what? The Lord meets the need. So he's he's pastoring two churches out there in Maine at the same time. And so he said, we're happy to send this to you. And so what happens in the mail this week? A lady from New York was on sermon audio and the messages and the Bible reading. And so we didn't even send her anything. She's just been listening to the Bible reading online, and she sent in a gift. So isn't it exciting just to serve the Lord? We've freely received salvation, and freely, gladly we give, and just to see the miracles of what God does. It's exciting to see. And so this whole matter of grace, and so we go on to verse 16. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the what? The gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation. So what is he talking about? Adam and Eve sinned. And so, well, we're right in Romans 5. Look back at verse 12. Romans 5:12. Wherefore, as by what? One man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon who? All men, for that all have sinned. So sometimes people say, well, it isn't fair that one man sins and it gets passed down to all of us. But you know what? One man suffered. The one in the flesh, God in the flesh, Jesus Christ, suffered. One man suffered for all of mankind. And if we will just receive the gift, he will save us. So when people say it isn't fair that one sins and I'm a sinner, well, it wasn't fair that one should suffer for us, but he did, and we can be saved through the gift he offers. So in verse 16, once again, and not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation. But the what? Free gift. What are we talking about? Grace? A free gift. But the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. So by one man's sin, all mankind were made sinners. Just by one man's sin, singular. But now by one man's suffering, the Lord Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, many offenses. Our, I mean, how many times have we sinned? None of us know. There are so many times in our own fleshly mind we justify what we do. And the fact is, it's sin. And then there are so many times that we don't do the good that we should do. If you hold your place here, notice with me in James chapter 4. None of us have a clue how many times we've sinned. We have no idea. In James chapter 4 and verse 17, the Bible says, therefore to him that knoweth what? To do good and doeth it not, to him it is what? Sin. Therefore to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So, how many times have we had the fleeting thought about, I should do something to help someone, this or that, and we didn't do it? Well, that is even sin. How many times have we done that in our lives? We would have no idea. So as we go back to Romans chapter 5, and we're thinking about verse 16, the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. By one man's suffering, Jesus Christ, it offered us the chance to have all of our offenses, all of our sins forgiven. Verse 17, for if by one man's offense death reigned, so that's Adam, by his offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of what?
Grace.
And of what?
The
gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Emphasizing once again, by one man's sin, death reigns. Everyone dies. The wages of sin is death. But Christ, the gift he's offering, everyone can be made righteous in God's sight. They can have their sins forgiven. Verse 18. Therefore, as by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. Verse 19. For by one man's what?
Disobedience.
Many were made sinners. So by the obedience of one shall what? Many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound, but where sin abounded. Do you think sin is abounding in this world? Most definitely. But where sin abounded, what? Grace did much more abound. That's our part to share the good news. That's our part to give out the gospel tracts or the Bible courses. Someone wrote in this week and said, in fact, it was just yesterday, and said, what age group are the Bible courses written for? And I haven't answered that. And I'm thinking, well, how old do you have to be to understand salvation? Well, go with me, please, to Matthew chapter 18. How would you answer that? I mean, the Bible courses simply are comprised of looking up Bible verses and filling in the blank. In Matthew chapter 18 and verse 1, Matthew 18:1. At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, "Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven?" And Jesus called what? A little child unto him, and set him in the midst of them. So you got all these disciples. You've got Peter, as we saw in Sunday school, you know, he's always seems like the first one to speak, and whether it's getting out of the ship or whatever, he was the bold one. They have all these disciples. All Jesus passes by all of them, chooses a little child. Verse 3, and said, "Verily, I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as what? Little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Does that mean if we pass the little child stage, we cannot be saved? No, that's not what it means. Verse 4, whosoever therefore shall what? Humble himself as who? This little child. So it's the humility part that we need, no matter what age we are. We need to humble ourselves before God. It goes on, verse 4, the same as what? Greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So verse 4, whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. So what are the what age are the Bible courses geared for? I guess I would have to say a little child, because a little child can get saved. And I guess we need to never lose that simplicity about that humility of reading the scriptures and saying, "That's right, Lord, I will do that." If you go with me back to Ephesians chapter 2, Ephesians chapter 2. So we come to that point where we receive Christ as our Savior. It's a free gift. And we'll look at a minute about the works here, verse 9. Well, let's start in verse 8 again, Ephesians 2:8. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we," what? "Are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them." How many of you ladies buy a mixer with no plans of using it? I mean, yesterday we stopped at a house and we could see through a window there were some trophies hanging on the wall, some deer with big racks. How many of you ladies buy a mixer to use like a trophy, just to put it up on a shelf to let everyone know this is a serious kitchen? Here, okay. I have a mixer. Okay. No, you buy a mixer to use it. God saves us. He gives us a free gift to use. You know you're in trouble when you get a gift back that you gave someone else previously. If you gave someone a gift and they forgot you gave it to them, and it sat in their closet long enough where they thought, "I never use that. I'm going to give it to someone." And if they forget to, and they give it back to you, and you don't forget that you gave it to them, what do you think? Uh-oh. I gave them something they never used, and they forgot even who gave it to them. You know, when God saves us by His grace, why does He save us? Well, He saves us from our sins. He saves us from the penalty of our sins. He saves us from hellfire, but He doesn't just save us for eternity's sake, although that's a huge thing, but He wants to use us now. You know, we're not just like a trophy to set on His shelf. He wants us to share the free gift with others. That's verse 10. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto" what? Good works. So, are we saved by good works? No. Why? Because the wages of sin is death. It's like trying to pay off a mortgage that has been foreclosed on us. And so to try to pay it off, but we don't have money. There's no way to pay it off. Well, the reason we can't save ourselves is because we're already sinners. Spiritually, we're already bankrupt. We can't make the payment. It had to be someone perfect, and that's why Jesus is God in the flesh. Only God is perfect. Only God. And so it took God to give the sacrifice for our sins. And so God wants to use us, verse 10, for we are his workmanship. I wonder if we are. A FedEx truck came to our house maybe a couple weeks ago. And so when I'm fast enough to catch them, I grab a gospel tract and go out and give it to them. And so a couple weeks ago, this FedEx truck comes. And so I took the package and gave him a gospel tract. And I thought he was a Christian. He of course, couldn't take time to stop and talk. But I give him the gospel tract, and he puts out his fist to do a fist bump. And so I thought, oh, well, he must be saved. He must like the track. So he went on his way and smiled and went on his way. FedEx truck comes, and we get a multitude of different drivers. So FedEx truck comes this week. And so I got out there, and so he'd backed up to the garage, and he was throwing boxes in the back of his truck. I could hear him. And he was also talking on his phone. And just horrible words, whoever he was talking to, horrible words was coming out of his mouth. And so he comes out of his truck, and I'm thinking, boy, this guy really needs this gospel tract. He really needs to get saved. And so I took the package, handed him a gospel tract, and he says, he already gave me one last time. And he puts out his fist. It was the same guy. I was dumbfounded. I thought, what are you doing fist bumping? What about your mouth, buddy? You're just talking. It says, God doesn't want us that way, does he? No. Verse 10, he wants us, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto what? Good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. So, no, we are not saved by our works. But God wants us to share with others. Boy, doesn't it seem like the time is short before the Lord comes again? We need to get out the word. There's so many that don't know him. Here's another definition of grace by Merriam-Webster's 11th Collegiate Dictionary. Grace means unmerited divine assistance. Unmerited. So undeserved divine assistance. Given to humans for their regeneration or sanctification. Well, there's a lot of big words there, but unmerited or undeserved divine assistance. How many of you need divine assistance? There's so little that we can do for ourselves. So little. Unmerited divine assistance given to humans for their regeneration or sanctification. Regeneration, to be made alive. Sanctification means to be set apart from our sin. We need the Lord's help. Another definition of grace given: approval, favor. The quality or state of being considered or thoughtful. Pardon, a special favor. Notice in Isaiah 55. So what can we say to explain this to people that are not saved? For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Isaiah 55:6. The Bible says, seek ye who? The Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Yesterday we were going down a road, and Brother Jim said, at the end of this road, there lives a man that used to work where I used to work. And a rough character. And so we got to there, and Brother Jim went up to the door, and the man has cancer and has, I don't know if it was Alzheimer's or dementia. I forget who went up to the door with him. Okay, cancer, and then, yeah, but he had a dementia. I forget which.
Alzheimer's.
So, the Bible says here, seek ye the Lord while what?
He may be found.
And it was, I think it was kind of disheartening to Brother Jim to find out that this man was in such rough shape. There's a time when we can understand and seek God, but there might come a time when we can't even comprehend it. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way. That's repentance. And the unrighteous man his thoughts. That's repentance. And let him return unto the Lord, and he will have mercy upon him and to our God, for he will what?
Abundantly pardon.
What is a pardon? A pardon is freeing you from all the penalty of whatever was come upon you. Jesus wants to pardon. In closing, let's go to Revelation chapter 3. Revelation chapter 3. So, we're knocking on their doors. Yesterday, the very first door went to. A man came to the door in a wheelchair. And I just tried to talk to him, and he wasn't interested, and he was backing up and closed the door. And I'm thinking, sir, you're in a wheelchair. I don't know what's happened. In fact, that's what I was trying to ask him, is how long you've been in a wheelchair. I was trying to find out what happened to him, and he wasn't interested in the gospel. And I'm thinking, we had a free gift for that man from Jesus Christ. He's in a shape right now where he has to be in a wheelchair. We're offering a free gift from Christ that one day he would have a brand new body. But he's rejecting that. Whatever he's suffering now in the wheelchair is nothing compared to what he's going to suffer in eternity without Jesus Christ. And yet he rejected the gift. Revelation 3, verse 20. Jesus is saying, behold, I stand where? At the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and what?
Open the door.
I will what? Come into him and will sup with him and he with me. To sup, to eat with, like supper. I will come in and sup with him. I'll have fellowship with him. But you know what? When that man slowly closed the door, the man in the wheelchair, I didn't stick my foot in the door and say, well, hey, buddy, you may say you're not interested, but you better be, and I'm going to tell you whether you are or not. No, we didn't get in the way. He closed the door. And there's so many people. I just think about that man. It was so close. It was right at his door. And he rejected. And this morning, if you should be here without Jesus Christ, he's right at your door. He's right there knocking. Won't you let him in? Won't you receive Christ? As Christians, he's right at our door, wanting to use us. We're not just some trophy of his to sit on the shelf. He wants to use us. I pray we'd be willing to be used. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, please work in our hearts. We thank you for salvation. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for showing us favor that we do not deserve. We thank you for offering us the gift of salvation, which we do not deserve. Lord, I thank you for the peace, the pardon, the joy, the satisfaction of serving you, to know that Our lives are not in vain in the Lord. Lord, please help us and use us. Once again, Father, I pray if there should be any here today that have never been saved, that today they realize that Jesus is the perfect and pure Son of God, God in the flesh, who came through a miraculous virgin birth, lived a perfect, sinless life, and then died on the cross, suffering for our sins and offering us a gift which we could never pay for. Father, I pray that you would help us today to willingly love you and serve you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.